What's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." And we're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about this Carly Russell kidnapping hoax. Yes, I called it a hoax. I think I'm right in doing that. We're going to talk a little bit about it. We're going to talk a little bit about some things that the Bible says. So I really appreciate you tuning in. Thank you so much. And notice the QR code. You can go to www.buymeacoffee.com/Christianity now, or you can go to www.patreon.com/Christianity now. And you can become a patron or a Buy Me a Coffee supporter, and that gets you access to weekly content that we put out that is only for our supporters. I'm currently taking the QR code down from the main screen. It will be in the top corner, and you can scan that anytime throughout the program. Let's go to the comments section. Good to see everybody. I was just a tad bit late getting into the live stream. I had it scheduled for 1:45 my time. So I was a few minutes late. Good to see everybody. Sherry Hickman, Paige Perry. Yes, still going live. Obviously, you know that now because I'm here. And she says, "Love this coverage. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama." So that's so great. Hey, incidentally, yesterday, we had two visitors. Two separate families visiting up here in New Brunswick. One's from Texas, and this is the second Sunday they visited, and they're heading back home. The other, and I'm not going to call their names because I don't want to. I'm want to protect their privacy. But we had some visitors from Alabama, so it was really nice having folks from quote unquote back home, or at least close to it, up here in the Great White North. So this is a very good, let me take time to cover this page. Okay. I could not remember if you were usually at 11 a.m. or 12. Sadly, on my live streams during the day, I'm whenever I can get there. I try to go consistently at around the same time, but I had some stuff in local work I had to take care of. I'm not admonishing you or anything, Paige. I'm just using this opportunity to answer this question, because if you have this question, many more people have it. I'm a local preacher, and my local work comes first. So we never want the tail to wag the dog. As much as I love you all, and I love the internet, and doing these live streams and stuff, what is in local work and the work that I do for the Riverview Church of Christ, it comes first. So sometimes my live streams have to take a back burner, but that's okay. And I know that y'all understand that. And Barry Odell ran over a little bit. Well, that's cool. Awesome. And Paige says that she gets YouTube notifications. That is awesome. And sometimes notifications don't work. Now, for those of you that are watching this and commenting in the We Talk Truth group, remember, I cannot see your name. So if, when I don't call your name, that's nothing to do with you. It's all to do with how Facebook handles itself. So someone says, "Hello, brother." And if you'll notice on the screen, it says Facebook user. So I will say hello back to you. And then there's somebody that talked about SAD, actually. And I'm assuming they're talking about this Carly Russell kidnapping hoax. Now, before we get into the meat of our podcast, let me tell you, we have a sponsor. And listen to our sponsor ad. Often people need a listening ear and support as they work through the varied situations of life. Sometimes those situations are so complex and overwhelming that you need some support. This is why LaBeth started Be a Mindful Soul. At Be a Mindful Soul, LaBeth's mission is to offer anything from a listening ear and advice from an older sister all the way up to helping someone find a professional counselor in their area if that's what is needed. Be sure to go to www.beamindfulsoul.com and check out all the services that LaBeth has to offer. She can help you answer questions about therapy treatment or mental health services you may need. She also provides affordable assistance and support with resolving relationship conflicts, gaining and implementing more effective parenting skills, and can help coach you through the steps that you need to take in regards to finding the peace and stability that you deserve. That's www.beamindfulsoul.com. And we're so thankful that Be A Mindful Soul has started sponsoring the Cogitations and Christianity Now brand. So thank you so very much. Now, let's talk about this. Awesome, Nancy Medlock. Good to see you. And that's right, Paige. Yeah, I'm a full-time nurse, so that comes first. Absolutely. And Paige says, I was asking more to know if my notifications were acting wrong. Ain't that the truth? Look, never trust your notifications. If you find a piece of content or a creator that you like on YouTube or Facebook or Spotify or anywhere, bookmark it so you don't lose it, because Facebook and Spotify and YouTube, and it doesn't matter which social media platform, they don't always play fairly. In my thumbnail, I misspelled Carly Russell's name wrong. It has two S's and two L's, and I only gave it one L, so I'm going to fix that after the fact. Let's talk about this article from Vox. Carly Russell, a missing black woman and a social media frenzy explained. From the beginning, the details of Carly Russell's disappearance seemed destined to cause an internet frenzy. Russell, a black 25-year-old nursing student, went missing from the side of a highway in Hoover, Alabama, on the night of July 13, shortly after calling 911 to report a child wandering alone on the side of a highway. Russell's brother's girlfriend, on the phone with her following her 911 call, reported hearing Carly scream and what sounded like the phone being dropped. When the police reached Carly's car just a few minutes after her 911 call, they found her phone and wig nearby, along with her purse and the food she'd just picked up for dinner inside of her car. Neither Russell nor a toddler was anywhere to be found. I wonder if Russell's brother's girlfriend tried to tell the people that they had a particular set of skills and they were going to employ them. This sounds an awful lot like the movie Taken. Russell's disappearance went viral on TikTok and other social media platforms, and in the days following, received national media attention as law enforcement agencies searched for her. The chilling details surrounding her appearance, or her disappearance, and the prospect that a child was used to lure her into danger likely contributed to it going viral. Fears about human trafficking and abduction have become a bigger part of the national conversation in recent years. Well, gee, I wonder why. Maybe because we're just now getting wise to some of this stuff that's going on. Then, 49 hours after she went missing, Russell showed up at the doorstep of her family home. Everyone who'd been following the case had a lot of questions. So, apparently, did the police. In a news conference on July 19, Hoover Police Chief Nick Derzis, I'm going to pronounce it Derzis, I don't know what his mama called him, revealed that detectives had been unable to verify many of the things that Russell had told investigators in the brief interview she gave them following her return. According to Derzis, Russell said that after calling 911, a man emerged from the trees near the highway to say he was checking on the child. She then said the man forced her into a car, and the next thing she remembers is being in the trailer of an 18-wheeler, said Derzis. Russell said that the man who kidnapped her had orange hair with a bald spot, and that she heard the voice of a woman who was with him but never saw her face. I can't. Okay. Orange hair with a bald spot. At one point, she said she managed to escape from the trailer but was recaptured and taken to a house where she was forced to undress and be photographed. After being put in another vehicle, Russell said she escaped again and was able to make it to her home by running through the woods. Derzis shared some other details that seemed to cast doubt on Russell's story. Video footage of showed Russell leaving the spa she worked at the day of her disappearance, reportedly concealing a bathrobe, toilet paper, and other items. Those items, as well as the snacks she purchased from Target shortly before her disappearance, were missing despite her purse and other belongings being left with the vehicle. Well, isn't that interesting? Durzis also noted that Russell drove 600 yards while on the phone with 911 saying she was watching the child, and police say that they received no other reports of a toddler walking alone. Video footage of the highway appears to show only one figure, Russell, on the side of the road. To think that a toddler, barefoot, that could be 3 or 4 years old, could travel 6 football fields without getting in the roadway, without crying, is very hard for me to understand, Durzis said. And incidentally, to think that this would be the only 911 call is absolutely ludicrous. All right? Then there were the internet searches on Russell's mobile phone. Now, here's where it gets thick, if you don't think it's thick enough. In the days before her arrest, Durzis said Russell was searching for information about one-way bus tickets and how to take money from a cash register without getting caught. She also looked into whether someone had to pay for an Amber Alert, a government program that helps alert communities when children are missing. On the day she went missing, Russell apparently searched for the movie Taken, a 2008 thriller in which Liam Neeson plays a dad who hunts down human traffickers who kidnapped his teenage daughter and her best friend. Incidentally, I absolutely hated that stupid movie Taken, and this is going to be hard for some people to swallow, but I'm like, if your teenage daughter goes abroad away from the safety of Western culture in the United States and goes to where all of this stuff happens, I'm not victim blaming here, but you're kind of asking for it. Like if I went to the really bad part of town with a $10,000 watch and a money clip with $10,000 or $15,000 cash and a gold chain and started running up and down the road at night and the bad part of town, it's not racist. It's red, yellow, black, and white. I can take you to some areas in which I used to frequent that are all white, but you better not go to that area and flash your cash because you'll get it stolen. You'll get mugged. You'll get hurt. What would you say to me? Well, if you're that stupid to go to that part of town and flash a wad of cash, you're kind of asking for whatever you get. And the 2008 thriller in which Liam Neeson plays this dad who hunts down these human traffickers. Look, the human trafficking is terrible, and we need to throw all of the resources at our nation's disposal to try to eradicate this terrible problem. But we also need to educate our young people, boys and girls. The world is a bad place. Don't be naive. Don't allow yourself to be a victim. Certainly, as a 19 or 20-year-old woman, don't travel to France. Don't travel to these countries, okay? Think about that a little bit. That's why I'm like, Taken? Good grief. All it would have taken for the movie Taken to be 10 minutes long is Liam Neeson's character backhand his daughter across the face and say, "Are you stupid? You're not traveling abroad by yourself." And then we wouldn't have the movie. And I don't condone hitting like that. But remember, these people are worldly, so they're not driven by morality anyway. All right. Here's what Durzis said. I do think it's highly unusual on the day someone gets kidnapped that they're searching the internet, Googling the movie Taken about an abduction. I find that very strange. This is Durzis who's saying that. I'm saying that he's being very, very nice here. All right. This is from Vox.com, by the way. This is Vox is not conservative whatsoever. Why the Carly Russell story took off and what the social media response says about it. So Durzis didn't come right out and say it, but the subtext seemed clear. The police have doubts about Russell's story. Gee, you think? And just about as quickly as social media, users rushed to share concern for Russell and the details about her disappearance, so too did they rush to offer their opinions on the latest developments. Well, does this surprise you? Like, this is not something to report on. Social media is the mob. The mob, the ebb and flow of the mob is dependent upon what's going on in the moment. What gets their attention in the moment. That's all. So, some criticized Russell for perpetuating what appeared to be a hoax and argued that her story would make it harder for people to believe families when other, listen to it, black women go missing. This is going to play a part here in this, and I'm going to talk about it because I looked up some stuff. I did research, which means I Googled, all right? Now, I'm not saying that Google is the be-all, end-all of research, but if in a 30-second Google search, I can find dissenting data that goes against the narrative that allows you to draw a conclusion that goes against a popular narrative, it may be that the popular narrative isn't as concrete and commensurate with reality as we might originally think. Deborah O'Neill says, instead of putting your child in every sport in the country, how about putting them in self-defense classes? Teach them how to keep their head on a swivel and notice trouble and avoid it. Absolutely. And put them in self-defense classes where they learn how to use a number two pencil to save their lives. I know that in a lot of countries outside the United States, you can't even carry a knife, but you can carry a number two pencil. You can carry an ink pen. And I promise you, if you take that number two pencil and you hold it just like this right here, you jam that in a soft part of somebody's gullet, you can back a little old 110-pound girl can back somebody off in a heartbeat. You see, predators who are searching for prey, they go after the weak and the defenseless. There's a meme that goes around Facebook from time to time that a lion is just looking at a porcupine. He's not doing nothing to it. Now, that lion could kill that porcupine very easily, but that lion would rather go to another animal that doesn't have the defenses the porcupine has. Just something to consider, all right? Now, others condemned the rush to judgment, noting that Russell could have mental health issues that the public isn't aware of, and pointing out that missing black women rarely receive the same amount of media attention that white women do. A few said they were just happy that Russell was home, regardless of what happened. So in this one paragraph, you have the left, the right, and the naive, okay? The naive, well, I'm just happy she's home. I don't care what happened. And then the left says that, well, you have, well, not the left, the right, and the naive. You have really the left, the radical left, and the left and the naive. The liberal left, their take on this would be, well, we don't need to rush to judgment because Russell could have mental health issues and people's intentions are much more important than their actions. Folks, that is wrong. If you walk up to me and you kill me, it doesn't matter what your intentions are. I'm dead and my wife is a widow and my children no longer have a father. It doesn't matter what your intentions are, okay? I'm still dead. People who live in reality deal with actions. Intentions matter not. The liberal left look at these people back during 2020, during the George Floyd riots, the BLM riots, and they were riots. And they see these people going into these stores and stealing things. The liberal left says, well, they're just poor and oppressed, and that's why they're doing this. Where somebody like me, I don't care if you're poor or oppressed. I do care if there's oppression, but it doesn't matter the reason. I don't care the reason. Poor, oppressed, you feel unheard, whatever. You can't burn down property. And the funny thing is, these people who claim to be poor and oppressed are people of a particular demographic in the United States known as African Americans, and the places that they're burning down are the places they live, and they are destroying African American owned businesses. African Americans who, if systemic racism is real, if institutional racism is real, and if the man is trying to hold down African Americans, what you are doing is you are punishing and harming greatly the very people who fought against and the system and won. Why would you do that? You got to teach how to think on your feet and learn to be aware of your surroundings at all times. Don't be scared, but be prepared to defend yourself or flee. Yes, and this comes from a person watching in the We Talk Truth group. And Deborah O'Neill says, there's never a reason to do wrong. Absolutely. So this is very interesting about, you know, defend yourself or flee. Do you know what the greatest weapon is in a physical altercation? It's your feet. The best training that you can do to avoid being harmed in a physical altercation is the 40-yard dash. Run away. All right. Let's keep going. And the reason I brought that up is I'm not trying to be ultra alpha male and be like, well, you just need to fight for your freedom. No. Watch King of the Hill and the women's self-defense course where this person is teaching all the women how to kick a man in the cojones and say, that's not my purse, and kick him in the cojones and run away. Nothing wrong with that at all. Anyway, so the liberal left says, well, we got to take into account the intention, the underlying reason. No, we don't. We don't care. A hoax was perpetuated against the American people, against the public, and that needs to be answered accordingly. Then you have the radical left, the woke, and says that black women rarely receive the same amount of media attention as white women do. So therefore, this person needs to, we need to be careful here because this person is crying wolf. And a black woman finally got the attention she deserves from going missing. And now we're disparaging all cases of where black women went missing because of this one who cried wolf. And then, of course, the naive people and a few said they were just happy Russell was home, regardless of what happened. Anyway, let's keep going. Well, there's still much about Russell's story we don't know, and certain things we may never understand, including the state of Russell's mental health. I don't care what her state of her mental health was. She needs to be charged with a crime. I don't know what it would be, but certainly wasting police resources. Any dollar that from the taxpayers that was spent on this investigation, Russell needs to be on the hook for. All right? Russell needs to be on the hook for. So there's still much about Russell's story we don't know, and certain things we may never understand, including the state of Russell's mental health. Now, our new details could still emerge that might change the perception of her case. If past prosecutions of women who staged their own disappearances are any indication, police will likely be unsympathetic if they find evidence that she fabricated her disappearance. Folks, let me tell you something. I think in this situation, the absence of evidence is evidence of absence. What do I mean by that? Well, reasonably, there was the story doesn't have the ring of truth. You have the circumstantial evidence surrounding her, the day of her disappearance, the stuff that she left her spa with, the 911 call, the call to the brother, all of that good stuff. Anyway, the child, it just doesn't have the ring of truth and all the circumstantial evidence. So when a story about a possible crime sparks national attention to the extent this one did, it does not happen in a vacuum. The reactions are informed not only by the facts of the case, but filtered through broader context that exists outside the particulars of the incident. And those responses can tell us a lot about the culture in which we live. Here is the part of the article where they're going to start blaming you. This is the part of the article, I'm going to say it again, where they're going to start blaming you. If you have a visceral reaction to this, it's your fault and it's because you're racist. If someone's backyard fire pit causes a forest fire, they sometimes get charged with the bill for putting it out. She should be sent the bill for her search. She took resources away from true emergencies. Absolutely. Yeah, Adina Harden says, avoid getting in the car with abductors. Once they have you in a vehicle, your odds of getting away are slim. That's right. That's a lot of wisdom in that. Well, Tony, if I don't get in that car, they're going to kill me. You understand if you get in that car, they're going to take you off and kill you. There's worse things than dying. So they're going to kill you, but they're going to be able to do a lot more to you. All right. So now we're in the part of the article where they're blaming you. If you have a negative reaction or thought about this story, it's because you're racist. The public concern about Russell's case was driven in part by the understanding that black women rarely receive the same amount of attention that white women get when they go missing. It was also driven by the frightening details around her disappearance, including the reports of a lost child. America has been consumed by moral panic about the idea of human traffickers lurking in the shadows, ready to kidnap unsuspecting women and children and sell them into sexual slavery. Well, gee, I wonder why. It's because the people who live in reality know that this happens. The liberal left that controls the narrative in this country right now, they want you dumb. They want you naive. All these big caravans, all these people coming up from Mexico, from Guatemala and Mexico, from Central and South America, through the southern border in the United States, they're just asylum seekers. They're trying to have a better life for themselves. They're not being sexually trafficked. Those children are not being sexually abused. Everything's fine. Don't look behind the curtain. There's no man behind the curtain. That's the idea. Oh, you're a 19-year-old girl? Yeah, get on a plane ticket. Get on a plane by yourself and travel to Dubai. I think about these stupid charges that were levied against Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate and his brother are morally are scum. Okay? They got their riches by exploiting women who were naive and think that selling sex for money made them empowered. And they had a webcam operation. And let me tell you what they did. They would have the women on webcam getting naked and doing sexual acts while men on the internet watched it, and Andrew Tate and his brother had hired a bunch of men to pretend to be these women to talk to the men while these women did sexual acts to themselves. And these men just were given tens of thousands and sometimes millions of dollars. But folks, we live in a world where that's acceptable. The same liberal left in the world, in the United States, that control the narrative that says that, well, just don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain, and that sex is liberating, and if you, as a woman, you can walk around naked as a jaybird and everything should be fine. You're not responsible. You're not accountable for your situation at all. They're the ones that saying, well, Andrew Tate and his brother are, that they need to be put away for that. Now, I think, man, it's hard for me because as a Christian, those are bad men and they need to be removed from polite society. But the law of Christ doesn't govern the law of the world. And the point I'm trying to make here is these women are told, you're powerful, you're empowered, and the world is a fine place, and you can move freely in it, and you don't need a man. You need a man like a fish needs a bicycle. And then they don't understand that there are predators out there. And whatever happens, they can't deal with the predators. Anyway, I went way off into the left field. I'm going to come back. If someone thinks that those people coming across the border are such fine, upstanding people, let them stay at your house. Put your money where your mouth is. You got that right. And you're going to be hearing this stupid thing here. All right, so let's keep going. The outsized fear is driven by internet conspiracies and misinformation, social media, politicians, and pop culture. But the reality is that the people most at risk of human trafficking are those who are already vulnerable because they live on the margins of society. Oh, see, it's your fault if you're white. Sometimes as children in the foster care system, or as undocumented immigrants, or as people struggling with addiction or homelessness, they are often forgotten because the authorities don't always identify them as victims. Folks, it's because of all of the ancillary phenomenon around this one thing. So if you've got an illegal immigrant, that's so stupid. There's no such thing as an undocumented. They're illegal. If you've got an illegal, a person who is in the nation that doesn't have a right to be, they're already part of a criminal underground. You got me? And they're already run awry of the law. You lay down with dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas. And we don't have the resources to deal with people who voluntarily put themselves in situations like that. Now, what do I mean? Well, first off, the children in the foster care system is a different story. The children in the foster care system are victims of the system because you have people in the system exploiting the system, and the people in foster care, they come from bad home environments. They come from terrible home environments, from terrible parts of the country. And again, we need to reform the foster care system. We need to make it very, very easy to adopt, and we need to make it much more difficult to become a foster parent. There's another example of the media changing the meaning of words. Immigrants aren't illegal. That's exactly right. So, anyway, with the exception of the children in foster care, undocumented immigrants, or people who are coming to the country illegally, people with addiction, people who are homeless, they are in their situations voluntarily. And I'm sorry, they don't warrant the same response as an upstanding member of society. They just don't. And I don't care who hears that and says, well, Tony, you're just a bad person. No, I'm not a bad person. I just live in reality. If you've got model upstanding citizen who is abducted, and you've got a homeless druggie who is living outside the confines of the law, we need to put way more resources into the model upstanding citizen. Because the homeless druggie that's there by choice, they're reaping what they sow. Now again, the children, the foster children, that's a different story. There needs to be some reform with the foster care. All right. In this case, it seems clear that while our culture is obsessed with salacious sounding crimes, let me give you a definition of salacious. Having or conveying undue or inappropriate interest in sexual matters. Yeah. Anyway, our culture is obsessed with it. They're not obsessed with it. It happens, and we are outraged by it, and we should be. So we're also, whatever the truth of this case turns out to be, deeply fascinated by the idea of scam artists. So, like, this is our fault. We have a visceral response to a story like this, and it's our fault because we're racist and we're voyeurs. All right, let's keep going. There are, unfortunately, countless real stories of missing black women and children, like Relisha Rudd, an 8-year-old child who went missing in Washington, D.C. in 2014 and still hasn't been found. Well, that's terrible. As the Black and Missing Foundation stated this week, we must remain vigilant and not lose sight of the bigger picture while we await additional information. For years, the foundation has been sounding the alarm on the plight of missing black and brown people from around the country, and their stories rarely go viral. Let's keep hope alive for these families and channel our efforts to bringing them home. Folks, I think there's a reason they rarely go viral, and it's not because of racism. It's because of the sheer number of times it happens. And I'm going to share with you some statistics, some NCIC, National Crime and Incident. Anyway, I'll share some statistics. The public and the media will likely move on from official stories soon. Finding Rudd and other missing children and adults remains just as urgent as it was before social media discovered the Russell case, and will remain just as important once it moves on. And of course, this is Vox, and Vox is a far left news organization, if it can be called that. So let me get here. I Googled, how many females go missing every year in the United States? Well, this is the number of missing person files in the U.S. in 2021, and this is from the NCIC. Hold on just a second. I can't remember. What does NCIC stand for? National Crime. Hold on. Bear with me. I'll get it. The National Crime Information Center, NCIC. So this is FBI statistics. Under 21, so females under the age of 2021, 194,673. 21 and over, 62,552. Incidentally, it says by age and gender. Let me see if I can find. Let's see. It says by age and gender. Oh, duh, by age and gender. I'd like to see the breakdown by race. I wonder if I can do that live. Hold on. What is the breakdown of missing persons by age, race, and gender? Okay, Wall Street Journal by American missing persons by age, race, and gender. Children and blacks make up a disproportionate percentage of missing persons reported each year. In 2013, people under 18 made up nearly 3/4 of missing persons reported, but only made up 23% of the population. So 75%, no, 3/4. Yeah, 75% of missing persons, 23% of the population made up 75% of the missing persons. Blacks account for 13% of the population, comprised 35% of the missing persons. So out of 75% of missing persons, African Americans or blacks made up a third of the 75%. Y'all, that's a bunch. I want hard numbers, though. I don't want percentages. This goes all the way back to 2013. This is good. This is okay. But let me go here to tools, and I can go to, in the past year. All right. Missing persons and the general population by age. Oh, good grief. I can't read that. It's too blurry. All right, here. Well, this is Canada's missing persons. I don't want Canada. I want the United States. Oh, well. Anyway. Here's the ethnicity of missing people. All right, I can't do this. I shouldn't have tried to do this live. I'm going to start losing people if I hadn't already. Now, here's my point. All right. In the number of missing people, males and females, all totaled, you've got 250,000 women and over 250,000 men. Vice versa. You got 250,000 men and a little bit over 250,000 women. So a little bit over 500,000 missing persons in the United States in 2021. All right. Now think about that. Now I noticed something about Canada. Hold on a second. Let me find it again. Well, what I read about Canada, yeah, how many Canadians go missing every year? Each year, police record over 100,000 missing persons in Canada. In the overwhelming majority of cases, missing persons are located within a very short period of time, usually within days of the disappearance. And another source that I found said, there's no accurate statistics with Canada. Well, I'm not going to go to that. There's no accurate statistics in Canada that it's around 500,000 people as well. So could it be the case that the reason that some missing people's stories are sensationalized is because there happens to be something sensational with the cases that is not based on race? All right. Now, let me read this. This is 3 minutes on missing white woman syndrome. This is from the American.edu, and this is Sarah Stein. She's a cold case consultant, co-founder. Just listen. The media is far more likely to seize on the disappearance of a white woman than that of a woman of color, a phenomenon known as missing white woman syndrome. Sherry Parks, then an American Studies professor at the University of Maryland, you lost me right there, first coined the term, and the late Gwen Ifill popularized it at a journalism conference in 2004 when mocking newsroom executives. She quipped, "If it's a missing white woman, you're going to cover that every day. Media coverage of a missing white woman tends to focus more on her role as a mother, daughter, or student, whereas stories about the disappearance of a woman of color typically focus on an abusive boyfriend, for example, or her criminal history. We've seen this outsized coverage of missing white females for decades in the case involving Polly Klass, Molly Bish, and Amber Hagerman. The murdered 9-year-old Texas girl for whom the Amber Alert system was named. But it accelerated in 2002 during what became known as the Summer of Missing Children due to the extraordinary number of high-profile disappearances. They included Elizabeth Smart, who was snatched from her bedroom in Salt Lake City in June and found 9 months later, which never happens, and Samantha Runyon, who was abducted from her front yard in Stanton, California, and murdered in July. The year culminated with the murder of Lacey Peterson and her son, Connor. But one case received very little attention in 2002 is that of Alexis Patterson, a 7-year-old African girl who was abducted near a Milwaukee school. This past July, the media covered the 20th anniversary of her disappearance. Alexis is still missing, but there were very few stories in between. Each year, 115 to 120 high-risk abductions like Alexis's put children's lives in imminent danger. In those cases, you statistically have 3 hours to find them, so early media attention can make or break a case. Could it be the case that these cases receive local attention? But if I'm in Tennessee, I don't understand the case. I don't listen. I don't find out about a case in California or Washington or Maine or something like that. That in order for it to reach national level, it has to be of such a spectacular nature that it gets national attention. Anyway, in addition to the physical characteristics of a victim, young, pretty, white, the media also latches on to fantastical narratives like Natalie Holloway, who disappeared in Aruba in 2005, or most recently, Gabby Petito. The 22-year-old was vibrant. She was living her best life and documenting it on Instagram until she was murdered last September by a boyfriend at Bridger Teton National Forest in Wyoming. In both of those cases, the location of the disappearance contributed to public intrigue since it made people think abduction was a simple runaway. It made people think abduction versus a simple runaway case. So this person writing this article is making the case against themselves. They are noticing spectacular phenomenon within the stories of these cases that would cause them to get national attention. Even within white women, there is a hierarchy. A sex worker, for example, has historically been viewed as less of a victim. Although the epidemic of sex trafficking that we're seeing around the world might begin to mitigate that stereotype. So there you have it. It's not a race thing. It's a values thing. It's a culture thing. All right. So sex workers, druggies, people who live on the fringes of society outside the scope of decency, they don't get as much attention in the news media as people who are straight-laced and live a life of morality, people who are upstanding. When somebody who is upstanding falls victim to a crime, it is out of the norm. It's out of the ordinary. But people who live on the fringes of our society, who live outside the scope of polite society, who skirt the law, well, tragic things happen to them all the time. Have you not ever heard, you live by the sword, you die by the sword? Why do you think that whenever an innocent person who is murdered or gunned down, they get national coverage, whether it's black or white, but yet black-on-black shootings in Chicago get zero coverage whatsoever? It's because it's expected in inner city Chicago. It's not expected if you live in the suburbs. There's a spectacular bend to the story. In 2019, we're done. This is a stupid article. But here's the point. Christians need to be very careful what they share and what they endorse and I've lost the word here. People need to be careful. That's all I'm saying. It's a sin to bear false witness. I remember the Jesse Smollett hoax. Everybody that had any kind of sense at all knew that that was a hoax. If you blindly, naively fall for these things, that says something about you. We have to exercise our senses to discern good and evil. That's the end of Hebrews chapter 5. Now let's take a couple. Listen to this. This is some Bible verses. I just Googled this, y'all. This is Bible verses about reputation. Not every one of them are germane to our topic, by the way. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver or gold. Folks, if you share a story and you eat and you fall for a hoax, hook, line, and sinker, it's forever out there on social media, and your good name will be tarnished because of it. Acts chapter 24, verse 16, in view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience. So we need to try our best to maintain a blameless conscience. We need to live godly and have a certain level of cynicism. instead of naivety, so we can find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man, Proverbs 3:4. A good name's better than a good ointment, Ecclesiastes 7:1. 1 Peter 2:12, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Folks, conduct your life in such a way, be skeptical, and live your life in such a way that your name is so well spoken of that the evildoers will be put to shame. 1 Timothy 3:7. An elder must have a good reputation to those that are outside the church. There's a lot of verses here. Like I said, not all of them are, you know, just because they mention reputation doesn't mean they're always germane. Deborah O'Neill says, God doesn't expect to turn the other cheek and let someone hurt us. You got that right. Yeah, that live stream I did about the Jason Aldean song, that joker's getting a lot of traffic. It hit a nerve. All right. All right. So we know that the Bible talks about having a good reputation, but I also want to say something to you as well. I believe that the Bible commands us to be just a little cynical. What do I mean by that? Well, Paul writes in Ephesians 5 that we are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Circum means circular. Spectly means spectacle, looking. As someone said in the comment sections, we're to have our head on a swivel. We're to be looking around. You know, we're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You understand that this Carly Russell story, that's one of the fruits of darkness. So we're to have no fellowship with it. We're to reprove it. How can you reprove the unfruitful works of darkness unless you're a little bit cynical? Let me give you an example of this. Of course, this has fallen out of fashion now because I think people are over it. But a few years ago, whenever this #MeToo came out, and believe all women, listen, if a woman comes up to you, or if a man, it doesn't matter, if anybody comes up to you and says, I was raped, you need to validate them, you need to believe them, and you need to comfort them. But if somebody comes up to you and says, Ed raped me, and I said Ed because I don't currently believe I know anybody named Ed, so Ed raped me, you have an obligation to doubt that, because that is different. Because if you believe that person and you act on that belief in such a way as you harm Ed's life, and it turns out that that person that told you that was lying, you have committed a very egregious sin against God and man. You see, people don't always tell the truth. And I'm very concerned with helping people that need to be helped. I'm very empathetic towards someone's hurting. And if you come to me and say, I was harmed, then I'm going to help you and I'm going to comfort you and I'm going to care for you and I'm going to validate you and your feelings. But if you come up to me and say, X person harmed me, then I have a moral obligation to doubt. And you've got to prove it, because it's a sin to punish an innocent person for the sin of someone else. Yes, we must be able to discern. Folks, don't be sucked into all this foolishness. This Carly Russell story is an absolute hoax. And if you want to do, I just found this out the other day. If you want to do like a Google search, so I'm going to do Carly, CarlyRussell. So I'm just going to search Carly Russell's name, and I'm going to allow my location to be turned on. I'm going to allow my location to be turned on. I'm going to go to tools, and I'm going to search within the past 1 hour. All right. So within the last hour, I have, in the last hour, KIRO7.com, Carly Russell, Crime Stoppers are not returning donations to reward until investigation is over. So evidently there's some breaking news about the Crime Stoppers have been getting donations to offer a reward to bring the Carly Russell kidnapper to justice. And there's so much that's already come out to say that this is a hoax, but they're saying, look, we're not going to return the donations that you made until the investigation is over. And I have no problem with that at all. And listen, I'm willing to eat crow. If it comes out that this Carly Russell, everything that happened to her turns out to be true, I'll be on here making another video. And I'll be like, you know what? I was wrong. I got it wrong. That's right. Carney Barden, don't be gullible. So anyway, you can search, you can Google search, and you can filter you can filter your results by time. So, you know, if you ever Google search something, you get articles that are years and years old, just Google posts that are put out in the last 24 hours and you'll have an immensely different experience. Folks, remember visit www.beamindfulshow.com and check out all the services that LaBeth has to offer. She can help answer your questions about therapy treatment and other mental health services that you may need. She also provides affordable assistance and support with resolving relationship conflicts and gaining and implementing more effective parenting skills, and can help coach you through the steps you need to take in regards to finding the peace and stability you deserve. She also offers a 30-minute consult. Go to www.beamindfulshow.com to avail yourself of everything she has to offer. Thank you so much. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations. You can support this podcast on Patreon and Be a Mindful Soul. If you're listening to this after the fact, those links will be in the show notes. Thank you so much. Don't be gullible. God bless you. Thank you so much, Missy Malone, Connie Barden, all the Facebook users in the We Talk Truth group. Be sure and follow us on Facebook, Cogitations and Christianity Now, and then Cogitations on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio. Folks, I'm signing off. We'll catch you on the flip side.